So this morning, we decided we'd mix it up a bit and we would worship afterwards. The talk is not hugely, hugely spiritual, so I thought we would do a sort of classic women's breakfast with a talk and then we'll kind of respond to that in worship. So hopefully that works as in my mind thought it would, but we'll see. Joe Saxton. Some of you may have heard of Jo Saxton. She is a hugely influential Christian female leader. She's spoken at all sorts of big events and conferences and is sort of very world-renowned, I would say. She spoke at Focus a few years ago. Some of you may have heard her there. She wrote a book, I mean, she's written quite a lot of books, but she wrote a book called Influential, which hugely influenced me. The book is very much for Christian women and how they can be influences in their church and just in society. So the talk I'm going to give today is very much it's loosely based on her talk, but on her book, but very much what I got from it and what I thought was really good. But if you really want to dig into what being a sort of Christian woman can look like, this I can really recommend. I can lend this copy as well if anyone would like that. And in the book, she writes a quote from John Maxwell. And he's actually, interestingly enough, I just saw this week, he's going to be speaking at the HTB Leadership Conference in May. He's highly regarded as one of today's top leadership thinkers, whatever that means. And he says that leadership is influence, nothing more and nothing less. So I want to ask you two questions as we begin. Do you see an influential woman when you look in the mirror? And keep these in your mind as we go through. And secondly, what do you want to be remembered for? Now, the last couple of times that we met, we've sort of subtly been on a bit of a journey, which you may or may not have seen. Noticed. Ali started the journey with talking about evangelism at the end of, just before the summer, and just how that, the thing I really took from her talk was that, you know, we can sometimes think in terms of we're Christians and then there's non-Christians, and then we kind of behave a little bit differently depending on who we're with. And actually, you know, imagine the world if we just behaved in the way that actually every single person on this planet was created by God. And, you know, so if someone is struggling and you would pray for them if they were a Christian, offer to pray for them if they're not. That was very much what she was talking about. And then Hannah sort of carried on that with talking about the fact we're all leaders in our different spheres. Again, we can think we aren't because we haven't had lots of leadership training. We're perhaps not leaders in our workplace or whatever, but we all influence people and we are all leaders and we lead someone or something around us. And so today I want to sort of expand a little bit and just look at influence and being influential, particularly given John Maxwell's quote, really, that leadership is influence. Now, first of all, I want to just start off by reading a quote from Jo's book. I won't bore you with lots of quotes, but it's the only one. And she says that in sort of the question is, why do we influence? So as Christians, we know we're called to be effective agents of change in society. We recognise that for all the amazing technological and scientific advances we've made, there are areas where society crumbles in desperate need of the transformative love and power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Jesus describes us as salt and light. Salt, the great preserver, the distinctive flavour, the grit on difficult paths. Light, exposing the things that hide away in the dark, and providing a pathway for safe travel and direction. We're not merely a church building, event, or program. We're a body. We're active. We're called to communicate the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We've been commissioned to make disciples who would follow in Jesus' footsteps. As Christian women, all that God has invested in us, our gifts, talents, passion, and energy, is to be employed and deployed to see his kingdom come wherever we are. So, We're all ready to change and take on the world, right? Right? Not always, not exactly. And that's why I want to spend some time this morning just thinking about how we get ready to just really influence the world around us. Now, I'm the eldest of four children. I've always taken a lead role in that setting. I was bossy. I'm sure none of you can be surprised by that. And always assumed I knew the best way to do stuff because, of course, I had been in the world that much longer than they had. All eldest children here will know exactly what I mean. it wasn't until we were all grown up and we were staying in a hotel ahead of my next brother Dan's wedding. And the night before the wedding, we all had a meal together, the whole family. And a really truly shocking thing came out at the meal, that our younger brother and sister had always felt really very bullied and just overwhelmed really by us, even as adults. And it was really sort of quite eye-opening that actually the influence in a bad way that we were having on our younger siblings, even into adulthood. And so I felt really terrible, as you can imagine. and that moment really started me on a journey of just thinking about how I influence people. And the next question I put here is sort of how we get into good shape so that we can be a good influence. And as we explore what it means to be an influential woman, we need to discover who we are and what has shaped us. Because we're shaped by families, our relationships, our communities, our experiences. And all these things bring us to where we are today. Overarching all of that, though, we have to understand that we were created by God, who can only create good things. And we were created in his image. We're fearfully and wonderfully made. But I don't know about you. I bet many of us can easily bring to mind something negative that was said about us. And actually, that's what dominates our thoughts. I was brought up believing that I was always needed to watch what I ate. And the insinuation, I presumed, was that I was a bit chubby. So for a lot of my life, I watched what I ate. And at times I was thinnish, at times larger, but rarely looked in the mirror and thought I looked okay. And the knock-on effect on that is how then I viewed other people. So I viewed other people sort of negatively. I was looking at how they looked, what they weighed, what they were eating. I look back at photos of my childhood, and I was quite slim. Who knew? I didn't. And I sort of look back and I think, what a shame of sort of the waste of negative energy that went into all of that. And so how we influence others is definitely shaped by those negative experiences. And, you know, I think sometimes it is good, not all the time, but sometimes it's good to just think about what has shaped us and what has brought us to where we are now, and just look at the knock-on effect it's having around us. For me, I've got children of my own, and so it's really important to me that they feel good about themselves. And so I have had to really think about my own negative self-image and really think about that and look at and literally bring it to Jesus and leave it with him. And I do have a more healthy relationship now. I have eaten a fair few pancakes this morning. But no, I do have a healthier image, way of dealing with it now. But it is an ongoing struggle, and I have to catch myself every now and again. Another thing, this is a bit more of a humorous thing, but another thing we have to consider in how we influence is looking at what influences us. So how many of us here binge watch box sets? There's Grey's Anatomy, The Walking Dead, Scandal, West Wing. I could stand here for probably 3 hours and list a few of them. But then how many of us are binge reading the Bible or Christian books or binge listening to worship albums? I don't binge read the Bible. I do binge listen to worship albums sometimes. We have rather played to death Bright City in our house and in our car. But all I can say is that a different penny emerges from a run of 6 Walking Dead episodes than Penny, who's just immersed herself in a psalm or has just really immersed herself in a worship album. And I'm not suggesting anybody has to ditch their favourite box set. That's not at all what I'm talking about. I'm just talking about a balanced intake and just occasionally looking at what we're feeding ourselves on. Now, we are influential whether we like it or not. And if you're sitting thinking, I don't influence anyone, you have no idea, I'm very dull, I really do not influence anyone, it's absolutely not true. We all influence somebody. And I'm going to give you a very silly, trivial example. In fact, the person is here, but I won't name them. So I never used to paint my nails, ever. And, well, occasionally, but rarely. But there's someone that I know who paints their nails all the time. And over time, I really noticed this, and I was really inspired and thought, they look amazing. And so now I paint my nails all the time. My husband is furious because it does cost money. And but I do. But I think my point being that the person who this is, I'll tell them at the end of the morning, will not have remotely thought to themselves that they have influenced me, but they have. And so another sort of way that we influence, I'm always amazed at how many people come and repeat back to me stuff I've said in the past, good and bad. You know, people are listening to everything you say, everything you do, everything you wear. And so we all influence. We are all influential. So the question I asked at the beginning was, what do you want to be remembered for? To have that in your mind. Is it nails? That's not a bad thing to be remembered for. And please don't be that the only thing that you go away from this talk remembering, painted nails. So what do we or what should we influence? So in Christian speak, we probably call this sort of calling, looking sort of at your calling, because actually we don't want to just influence people with our nail painting. We want to think beyond that. maybe some of us do, not all. But so because we are influential, we do need to think about sort of calling and be aware of our gifts that God has given us. And be making every effort to use them. And our ministry and our calling is not just what we do around church. It's what we're doing 24/7. So when you're at your place at work, when you're in your home, how are you being that effective agent for change? Is there a gossipy culture in your office? Do you fuel that gossip? Do you merely take part in it? Or are you actively seeking to move the conversation on to a more encouraging, positive discussion? Have we fully engaged with our current life, what we're doing right now, as being our calling right now? Because we can sometimes spend life a bit fed up. I don't know where I'm going with my life, really. Stuck in a bit of a dull job, or we're perhaps at home with small children, or whatever it is. And yet we are called to be salt and light in those areas. Whether we like it or not, we're influencing people in those areas. Even when you're loving what you're doing right now, it's still looking at, how am I being influential in what I'm doing? Now, calling's a funny thing. It can sometimes feed our self-obsessing nature to spend lots of time pondering what God might call me to do. We've all been there. And whilst I think it is a really good thing to think about from time to time, there's one thing that we are all called to be, whether we like it or not. And even if you're sitting there thinking, I have no idea what I'm called to, and I've often thought about it, I don't have any idea. Well, you're called to be like and to follow the example of Jesus. And actually, that's integral to all our callings, to everything else that might kind of come out of us and what we might do. We're called to be like and to follow Jesus. And so to sort of look at what that looks like, we can ask the question, what did Jesus do? And there's 3 things that I want to particularly pick out. One is that he had a relationship with his Father. And so that was integral to who he was. And so therefore we should look at that and think, well, that must be integral to who I must be. And so he did that through prayer and worship. And actually he was so dependent on his Father that the Bible says he only did what he saw his Father doing. So he totally followed his father. Secondly, he had authentic relationships with believers. And this is actually a really good example here of us having relationships with fellow Christians. He hung out with the 12 disciples, lived in community with them. And that was how he, I suppose, fed himself. And he had a relationship with the world around him. So he was always bringing good news by evangelism, service. And he brought the message of love and hope in the way that he treated people, particularly the marginalized and rejected. And he demonstrated God's power through miracles of healing. Now, sometimes God does give us specific callings. A sort of really obvious example of that might be someone who feels called to be a vicar. But more often than not, we don't necessarily feel any specific direction. But if you look back over your life, and sort of really properly look back over your life, I think most of us can say that we have seen how God has actually led us all the way through. And you can find yourself saying, well, that was clearly God. Yeah, actually, so yes. So always being open to his leading will actually keep you on the right track. You know, and those three things that Jesus did, you know, being in relationship with his father, fellowshipping with other people, and just sort of being out there in the world, all of those things will keep you on the right track. I think it's important to remember as well, though, with your calling, that more often than not, it'll be your natural giftings that you are using. So it's unlikely that if you're tone deaf, that you'll end up being an opera singer. Possible, unlikely. But say you're a great intellectual debater, you know, then I think God puts you often in situations where there's sort of highly intelligent people really grappling with stuff, and you're able to go in there with that gifting of intelligence. And for me, I love organising. It's something that just does come naturally to me. And also I love the church, and I do feel really passionate about its place in society. And so for me, combining those two things is why I work here. And so it feels like absolutely the right thing for me. But that wasn't like rocket science. It was combining two things, what I love and what I can do well. So here's some questions to help you on the way to discovering sort of your own specific calling. What's in your heart? What's on your mind? What do you think about a lot? What do you hope to be remembered for? What do you enjoy doing? What are you good at doing? Do you like hosting dinner parties, for example? How about rather than just having random conversation around the dinner table, start up a sort of conversation about a topic that might be really helpful? I mean, I remember being out with some friends a few years ago, and I was talking about the fact that we sponsored a little boy in Uganda through a compassion organisation. And every single person in the pub had never heard of such a thing. And actually, I think, slightly thought, what on earth? Why? Why would you do that? But my hope is that even one of those people might have gone away and looked up on the website what that strange woman Penny was doing. And who knows, you know, where that then, the knock-on effect of that. And ask your friends who know you well, because they'll be able to point you in the right direction. And be more intentional with the life we're currently living. We talked about this a bit at the beginning. So don't limit what calling means. So being a really good mum is a calling. Being a really good carer for an elderly relative is a calling. Being a really good friend to someone who just really needs that is a calling. An example, again, of combining your natural giftings and sort of, I don't know what, is Kath Sales. Do you remember Joel Sales, who used to work here? So Kath, I don't know whether any of you met her particularly, but actually she was hugely encouraging as a person and always had some really lovely things to say. And she sort of just, she just trotted out lovely, encouraging things. And she's also really crafty. She actually set up Mums Connect and Craft back in the day. And she has combined those two things and set up a website called Hope and Ginger, and she creates lovely things, which are all encouraging things. So I brought one just along, just because this is a really classic one for me. I'm not rubbish, that's wrong. I'm not good at writing encouraging things. And so for me, Kath doing this has made my life just easier, and I'm now able to be encouraging because she's given me the tools. So that she's doing absolutely what she should be doing. But one lovely example is one of those sympathy cards. Sympathy cards, always tricky to know what to write. And she has just got exactly what you would want to say. So it says, "I'm so sorry. I wish I could make it all better." And I read that and I had tears in my eyes because I thought that's exactly what I want to say to someone because we can't do anything, you know. But that, and so she's done that. She's created like a whole range of stuff that we can just pick up and go, you know. So, and she'll, yes, I meant to say that, and she'll be at the fair tomorrow. It's not a plug. She doesn't know I'm speaking about her. But no, so she's just a really good example where she's, you know, she's combined her natural giftings and just what she naturally is. If you're not sure what you're like, another great one to do is a personality sort of strength finder test. I mean, not everyone loves these kind of things. I do like that kind of thing. But they are illuminating. So I love a good chat, as most people will know. And guess what? My two top strengths are communicator and relator. But I have to think about my chatting because actually my loving of a good chat can verge on gossip if I'm not careful. And so I have to catch myself and recognise that and instead be more intentional about my chatting and to be encouraging and positive and all of that kind of stuff. So it does actually sometimes help to know what your strengths are because also then it also tells you what the weak side of that is so that you can avoid that as much as possible. One final point on calling is Robert Madu, the talk at Leadership Conference. He spoke for like nearly 2 hours on staying in your lane. And that is so key. Because if you are not true to yourself and be who you are and who you were created to be, it all does start to go wrong. I was telling Ingrid last night because I was going to use the example of, you know, if any of us here try and be Beyonce, for example, it's all going to go horribly wrong. And then Ingrid randomly said something about Beyonce last night, and I said, "Oh, okay." And I said, "Ingrid, you need to be at my talk tomorrow because you don't need to be Beyonce. You need to be Ingrid." But actually, literally, the world misses out on Ingrid if she tries to be Beyonce, because we've got Beyonce. We don't need another one of her. And so it all goes wrong. If we try and be something and someone, we're not. So what if it's all going wrong? I just want to touch a little bit on what if it is all going wrong. You're just not in a place where you feel you can give anything, actually. You have no interest in your calling. Life's going pretty badly, to be honest. You're being influential, but in a terrible way. Shouting at the kids all the time, eating too much. Being objectional to work colleagues. I'm sure there's no one like that here. In a parenting course, we learned the acronym HALT. H stands for hungry, A for angry, L for lonely, and T for tired, which they encourage you to think through when your child's behaving abominably and you just don't know what your wit's end. It might be that one of those four things is going on. And it's a good one to use on ourselves, actually. It's not about being all sort of introspective, but every now and again we just get grumpy and things just aren't going well. And it's a good tool to just sort of think through what's going on actually at the moment for me that I'm sort of being like this. So H for hungry. We all have to eat, but what are our eating habits saying about us? Are we overeating or undereating? Are we hungry for affection and affirmation and approval all the time? Beyond what we sort of know is normal. And we're working too hard to achieve the unachievable? Are we hungry for power and recognition and influence in a way that we sort of feel isn't probably pleasing to God? A for angry. Now, this is one I can struggle with. I can become passive-aggressive. I know I mustn't show anger, so I don't. But it's still there, deep down. And it festers. And actually naming it and working through it is actually much more healthy. Anger is normal. But if it lingers, it sort of stagnates and turns to bitterness and unforgiveness. And a small irritation can really fester and become something huge. What do you do when you're angry? How does it shape your influence? Perhaps you speak openly, negatively about colleagues. Or you take secret pleasure when you hear someone else is not doing as well as you. it's all horrible and we don't want to be that person. But if we don't address the cause, we can be. L for lonely. Now, Mother Teresa described loneliness as the worst kind of poverty. We all appreciate the benefit of some alone time once in a while, but not dealing with loneliness can actually cause us to eat too much, end up in a relationship that's not quite the right thing for us. It can send us into a spiral of negative thinking and depression, and we start to imagine things that aren't true. It can be really powerful in its grip and sort of leave us with no energy. It's definitely something to look out for and make a plan to how to tackle it. And, you know, meet with a friend, open up about how you're feeling, look around at others in your exact scenario and your situation. So what are they doing? How are they sort of dealing with it? And glean from other people's lives. I remember feeling very, very lonely and isolated when I was at home with small children. And sometimes it was a huge effort to get out of the front door with all the crap that comes with taking a child out of the door. A baby. Actually, a child's easier, but a baby was just a lot of stuff. And actually, on the days that I didn't go out, bad days, very bad days. And I found that even just getting out of the front door and just going out in the fresh air made everything better. You know, even the baby would stop crying and, you know, sort of joy would re-enter our lives. And, you know, you could sit on the park bench and sort of finally sort of get some perspective, actually. Because babies often cooped up at home do cry a lot. In fact, sometimes I used to think I cried more than the babies did. And then tiredness, T for tired, which is a biggie. Because we're all tired, aren't we? We just are. You know, no one gets enough sleep. Work's exhausting. Commuting's exhausting. And tiredness really skews our perspective on life. We're more sensitive, more prone to angry outbursts. But what if we went to bed an hour earlier? Or what if we took a proper day off? Crazy to think that could be the answer. Now, I know there's not always a straightforward answer to any of these things. So I'm merely suggesting that if you feel life isn't going sort of great at the moment, just perhaps take a moment to just work through that acronym and just see, is there anything that you could change that could be that positive change that, you know, would just help you? And don't be too proud to ask for prayer from a trusted friend. So, to come into land, I'm going to ask the two questions again. Do you see an influential woman when you look in the mirror? The answer is yes. And what do you want to be remembered for? And that's between you and God and your conscience. And I just recommend just having some time to think about that. Because I think it changes as well. You know, we can have a season where we're fully knowing what's going on and a season when we're just actually not, a bit all at sea. I'm going to read a passage from Hebrews to finish. And yeah, I'll read the passage first. So it's Hebrews 12, verses 1 to 2. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. So Ingrid's going to lead us in worship in a minute, but just now, we'll have just a moment or two in silence, just to think about if there's anything that particularly you feel God has been speaking to you. I'm going to pray for us, and then Ingrid will come up in a couple of minutes. So let's pray. Father, we thank you that you have created.